Welcome to Sisters of Sound from the Tattoo Sound and Music Studio in Toronto. I'm your host, Morgan Shepherd. About a year or so ago, a good pal of mine was like, we need to go dancing. And she was right. It had been some time. So we all got our outfits ready and headed out to Supermarket in Kensington Market. And we went there for a reason, to see a specific DJ, and not just any DJ. We were going to see Hey DW, just like, you know, in Arthur, like, Hey DW. And her show was insane. Best DJ set I've seen in my life. She's not just a DJ, though. She's also a musician, director, producer, and writer. Her YouTube series, That's My DJ, has won several awards at the Vancouver Web Series Festival and the New York Television Festival. And I'm so pumped that she's down to chat with me today. She biked over here from her place in Toronto. DW, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah.
And biking over. It's become a thing where guests bike over to the studio now. Sukyun Lee was here a couple weeks ago. And
I love her.
Yes.
She's so dope.
I know. I was really excited to chat with her. And as am I with you.
Thank you.
So for those that don't know you, tell us what you do. You have probably one of the most unique DJ gigs, I think, in Toronto.
Yeah, it's very lively. So I DJ and I play like live drums at the same time. I like to say it's a little bit of like if Joan Jett was a DJ or like was in EDM music. That's the kind of energy I have. But lots of sweating, lots of dancing. It's always been a pet peeve of mine when I go to shows in Toronto or really any city, and it's all about looking cool and maybe nodding your head to the music or like keeping your leather jacket on.
Yes.
For
sunglasses
me,
on yeah. at night.
I'm like, it's about if you leave a bar or a dance club or a concert and you're sweating, like soaked through your clothes. That's happened to me a couple times at a couple different concerts I've gone to in my like teens. You have the best time, and it's one of those memories that really like makes a print on
your
brain.
Totally, mascara's just like running down your face.
Yeah, those are the best times. Those are iconic moments. So I try to create that every time I perform.
And you do, because I've seen you and had the best time, which is why I thought of you for this. But you don't just DJ.
No, that's my night job.
So
I like to think of myself as a superhero. I have my day job and my night job.
Absolutely. So what's the day job?
So the day job is directing. So I wrote and created and directed a web series called That's My DJ. We did 3 seasons. They've been all over the world at this point. I just got back from like Switzerland in the UK, and Jade Hasune, which is the lead of season 3, he was just in Korea and in Italy presenting season 3 over there. Which we won Best Music for in both of those festivals, which is awesome.
Congrats.
Thank you. It's kind of a glimpse into the world of the DJ lifestyle in Toronto. So based on my life, what I was seeing in clubs and all those different storylines, and as we all know, lots of drama happens in bars and when there's alcohol.
The emotions come out.
The 2 a.m. So it was based off of that. It's very similar to kind of like Skins UK, if anybody ever watched that show, kind of like a gritty, raw teen show. It's fiction. I have an amazing group of actors and so many amazing people who've supported me throughout those 3 seasons, which probably took like 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
So, I'm just coming to the end of That's My DJ and everything it's brought me.
We want to know how it began, you know?
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Ryerson University for film.
Yeah.
But before all of that, when you are a little bit of a loner and a little bit of like a black sheep in elementary school and in high school, I turned to music, I turned to television, I turned to film instead of hanging out with like the popular people or friends or having a social circle. I really truly was by myself. So
Wow. It
was playing guitar. I saved up for like 2 years for my first drum set. I remember the moment it popped into my head, I knew I was a drummer, and I ran up to my dad and was like, Dad, I'm a drummer. And he's like, no, you're not. And like, get in the car and like, let's go to wherever we're going. But I knew it from that moment that I was a drummer. So saving up my money and then getting my first kid, and I didn't even have cymbals. Like I was just banging on like the floor toms and snares.
You were just
and,
showing your dad.
Yeah.
I was
who's
like, boss?
Who's like hated life because it's the worst instrument for your child to want to play.
Yeah.
It's expensive. It's big. It's loud. There's no volume switch. Like.
Yeah. You're just going ham on the drums or you're not.
Yeah. And I'm a loud drummer.
Yeah.
If you've seen me play live. I've had some sound people being like, can you just play quieter? It'll be better for the mix. And I'm just like,
That's not how the drums work.
I'm like, that's not how the drums sound the best.
Yeah.
Also, do your job.
So your DJ name is Hey DW.
Yes.
Growing up, I loved Arthur.
I mean, who didn't?
Right?
Yeah.
So did anybody ever do the Hey DW when you were little?
Not when I was little. But I've gotten it biking around town where it's like 10 o'clock at night and I'm biking somewhere and I hear from the distance, hey, DW, and I'll look to like give them like a
wave,
but I'm also like,
yes.
I don't want to crash. But I've heard it in very hilarious situations around Toronto now.
So do you love that or hate it?
I do love it.
Okay, great.
Well, it means people are connecting. People are connecting to me as an artist, as a brand. You can tell that there's kind of like that. There's fun in their voice when they're saying it. They know they're referencing Arthur, but they know I'm going to have a chuckle out of it too. So, no, it's cool.
Very cool. So, your day job and your night job are a little different. If you have a fully booked day, what does that look like?
Oh, man. It differs so much depending on the day or what I'm working on. But typically, kind of, if I'm on set or if I'm working on anything, like getting up, going to set and working on set with my actors and my crew and kind of creating, I could also be heading to the recording studio and working with my producer on music, just generally taking meetings or writing sessions or working on somebody else's set, which I've done as like a DJ consultant or kind of like helping out with the music, that kind of thing. I just made a guest appearance in Private Eyes, which was my acting, quote unquote, my acting debut.
Very cool.
Which is hilarious, playing Hey DW.
Amazing.
But yeah, it just kind of varies all over the place, which is great. I love when things change and you're challenged in new ways. And I feel like every day I'm challenged in a new creative way where I get to play and have fun, but also problem solve and try to make, you know, tell great stories.
Amazing.
Essentially.
What are some of the challenges that are happening now?
Right now, I finally have the first lull in like 4 or 5 years. So when you're just riding hard on adrenaline, like for the past couple months, I was back and forth to the UK. So I didn't even switch my body over to this time zone.
Yep.
So I just stayed. I'm like, I'm going to stay in UK time zone. And because I know I'm flying back over there. And I'm just going to like get up and just like do my day and like go to bed at 6 o'clock. And like it's just, and you're just on an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're in and out of a suitcase.
It's so exciting.
It's so exciting. But you don't realize how much of a toll it physically takes on you and your mental health as well. When you're not sleeping or eating properly and you're just kind of jet setting.
Just going.
Don't get me wrong. It's fantastic. I love it. But yeah, for the first time in 4 to 5 years, I'm here and I'm breathing and I'm like, okay, it's been 5 years of that's my DJ. It's been 4 years of Homebrew, which is the party that I've been throwing, which is kind of where Hey DW developed. And kind of 4 years of Hey DW with the drums and the DJing. So now I'm like, well, what's my next move?
Do you feel like you have more freedom now that was like such a strong hustle?
It's weird. I feel like I have more pressure. I feel like I have more pressure on myself. I mean, I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Yep.
So kind of applying that pressure to myself in the sense of like, well, that stuff was great. That stuff people responded to.
Right.
I've got to make something good.
It's kind of like the pressure a lot of artists face after they have a debut album that is just hot fire.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, what's next? And you think that it's like, oh, they're going to be so excited about this next project. But really, they're just like, oh, my God, I want people to like it as much as they loved all this other stuff.
Yeah. And it's being patient with yourself as an artist because a lot of like first series, features, albums, that takes 10 years to write. They say it takes 10 years to make an overnight success. So that's 10 years of living and writing and
inspiration
and learning what works for you and what doesn't, compacted into like, you know, a couple years. And then they expect you to turn that around in like a couple months or a year or two. And you're like, I need to live. But living and being inspired doesn't pay the bills. So it's like that constant kind of balance and pressure.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. So I've seen you play at Homebrew and fell in love with your set. It combines so many elements. It's, you know, it sounds amazing. You're rocking out on the drums. You've got your, well, you used to wear a cheerleading costume, but you don't anymore?
Yeah, I'm starting to, actually, you guys will get the exclusive to... But I am probably going to, I'm transitioning and kind of rebranding Hey DW, and I might not be Hey DW anymore. I may be dropping the Hey.
Okay.
So just still sticking with DW, sticking with the fun, but I find with every year of being Hey DW, it's like dog years.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year I was like a puppy and I just wanted to play and I was like cartoons and fun and cheerleading and all that stuff.
Yep.
And by year two or three, I was kind of like that preteen.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, I want to play Demi Lovato and like make out with a girl on stage.
Yes, yes.
Like that's what I was feeling. So I was like, ooh, I'm starting to become teenager Hey DW. And now I feel like I am that teen version where it's like, I want to watch MTV and I want to, you know, I don't know, just have a little bit more of like a mature vibe, but still fun, still cartoony, still like super... energetic.
Yep.
But yeah, I, you know, it's all about taking those new steps in development and doing something scary with your brand to really grow.
Also very refreshing that you would even put that much thought into it because I don't know if any other DJs would. Like who else do you know who would kind of look at their career like that and kind of stage it out?
Yeah. I mean, it is like a character.
It keeps it interesting.
Yeah. And it's weird, like, when I have put on the cheerleading uniform and in the past, I do, you know that, like, in Batman, like, that montage sequence where he's, like, putting on the costume?
Yes.
It's like, duh. It's like, you see the chest plate and the thighs and then, like, in the 90s Batman, like, the nipples and, like, the whole thing. I felt like that and I would always just kind of sink into this kind of playful character that's like, oh, my God, I'm ready. Let's do shots of whiskey and I'm going to play drums. It's going to be crazy. But now it's like, you know, I don't think I need that safety blanket anymore. I think I can bring a little bit more of myself, become a little bit more vulnerable with DW, which is always interesting because I found when I wrote and directed season two of That's My DJ, I was so scared because it was so true to me and who I am.
Really?
And I was so vulnerable with the writing that a couple days before it came out, and we did the big kind of like theater debut, I was terrified because I was like, oh my God, people are going to see who I am. And that's so frightening. But that's the season that's resonated the most with people and has the most views. And I get fan letters from people like thanking me for telling that story and like how other people have connected to it. And it's like got me, like won me Best Director in New York Television, which is like one of the biggest television web series festivals in the world.
Amazing.
And that was like our first festival. And I was like, what's happening? And it was a whirlwind for like a year and a half.
Wow.
So
do you think you're going to be more raw moving forward with the series?
I don't know if I'll keep moving forward with the series. Right now we're kind of like, I'm working with a production company in LA and we're kind of pitching it around to make that web series turn into a television show to really flesh it out and really open up that story. But reverting back to DW and kind of everything I'm doing right now is trying to find, you know, digging deeper and finding what is my voice? What is my authentic voice? What do I have to say that's unique, that's not being said right now? And being a little bit more vulnerable.
Cool. Would you ever add in anybody else to your live show? Or is it going to be just you forever?
Well, I think I'll be the staple.
Yeah.
I love having guests on stage. Like, I've had a saxophone player before.
Yeah.
I've had a bassist before. I've had different singers kind of come up with me on stage. I think my ideal would be to tour and have, like, you know, two or three people who kind of rotate in or out, kind of like Rudimental.
Yep.
I don't know if you know those guys in the UK, but they, like, broke Jesse Glynn. And they had all these cool singers and all these amazing people. But then those people get successful and kind of branch off and, yeah, kind of like community.
It's the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Where do you find new music from?
I feel so redundant because I say her name in every interview and like everything I've done.
I've been waiting.
Annie Mack.
Okay.
Man.
Oh, wait, from BBC?
BBC.
Yeah.
That chick, when I remember when I discovered her, God knows how many years ago, probably 8 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, it like blew my mind open. I was like, oh. And it's a woman. It's this dope-ass woman who is literally deciding dance music and electronic music, which ultimately affects pop music at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
So she's making an influence on the world of music from the UK to Ibiza to Miami to LA to New York. Like, she's like affecting everything, and it's such a huge ripple effect. And I don't know if anybody understands like how big of a choice that she has. But now she has her own festival, like she does her own nights, like she is an empire. And for me,
you need to meet her. Have you?
I have met her.
What was that like?
I met her as a fan, like way back in the day before I started DJing.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I knew I was over there. My friends were like, okay, cool. Like, we're drinking and watching the, like, Zed's Dead before they were Zed's Dead.
Yeah.
And this little stage, like at Rebel, and then it was Sound Academy. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go, like, say something. Like, I'm like, my body just started moving where I'm like, I'm not ready.
It's the pull.
It's the pull. And I walked over and I'm just like, excuse me, like, your friend Annie Mack, like, it was just like a mutual friend or something. I was like, do you mind if I like say hi or something like that? She's like, of course. And she came over. I don't even know what I said. Probably just blacked out. But I said something along the lines of like, you know, you're a huge inspiration, whatever. And I started crying.
Aww.
Like, I don't get starstruck.
That's so nice.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, I've worked with like a bunch of big actors recently and I'm just like, so like, they're people,
totally.
They're artists. I, you know, it's great to collaborate with them. But for some reason, when I met Annie Mack, I was like, God.
Well, it's such a huge influence on you too.
Yeah.
You know, people probably get like that with you.
I've had people, like, definitely fangirl out. I don't know about crying.
Yeah.
I don't think I made that much of an impact on the world yet.
Maybe after the TV show comes out.
Maybe after the TV show. But, yeah, I've definitely had some people show up. Even at my latest gig, I had, like, 12 people who had gone to a supermarket show. And they're like, that was the best night I've ever had in my life. Like, champagne. I just remember you and your sports bra and champagne everywhere.
So you've also directed music videos and have been doing that for a long time. How did that begin? What was the first video you directed?
I actually don't remember what the first one is, but I'm pretty sure it was like a friend who had a song, and I was like, well, I can shoot stuff.
Yeah.
Like before the writing. Well, no, I'd done like 2 shorts at that time, maybe. But yeah, just shooting music videos for friends, and then slowly it kind of turned into For Esme's You was kind of like my first real like budget. I'm being hired on to do this, and you know, being asked to be creative for pay, and that was like a big deal for me. And yeah, that was awesome.
So did you start off shooting? Like, actually, like, videography, or were you just directing from the start?
Directing from the start.
Cool.
Yeah. I love collaboration.
Yep.
I love working with people who love what they do, and they can bring something to the table.
Totally.
And I find it so inspiring to inspire somebody. If I can inspire my DP to think beyond, you know, what they've ever done before and come up with, like, the craziest shot possible or something so simple that accents... you know, what we're trying to say, then I'm doing my job. And same with the actors and sound recordists and craft. And it's my job to inspire and be the DJ, really, of a set.
Yeah.
And get everybody on the same page and then just make sure everybody stays on the same kind of storytelling road.
That's great to hear, because I feel like a lot of people now in the very DIY area of the creative world want to, if you're in charge of a project, be the voice of absolutely every single piece of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've worked with people like that before.
Yeah.
So it's great to hear how it should roll out.
Yeah. Well, when people are happy and fed well, that's also a trick, they're going to give you the best stuff. And if you are getting 100% out of everybody, you're going to have great footage.
Yeah.
You're going to have great music. You're going to have great whatever. And then that's, you know, it's just going to be amplified. I swear you can feel the energy of a set in the raw footage. I remember when I was an assistant editor and we were getting the dailies, and I was just like, why does everything feel so like lack of energy, lack of life? There was like a lifelessness to it.
Yeah.
And then as I started watching like Beyond Action and Cut and like listening to set and whatever, I realized that like the director and the art director hated each other, and there was like arguments happening on set, and you could tell the lead actor was being affected by it, and it was just like all this craziness. And I'm like, oh, you've lost it. You've lost the story because you lost your crew.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
You would make a great manager of, like, any company. Any company. Honestly, reading people is, like, half the battle. Yeah.
Well, that's my job in so many senses.
Yeah. Like, I mean, when you're DJing.
When I'm DJing, I have to read 200 people plus, depending on the event.
Yeah.
Or one person. And you have to read them and then get them on the same page. I was chatting with a friend of mine a couple months ago being like, I have to take the sober person and the drunk person and the person who doesn't want to be there and the person who's like, fangirl, I've seen you 7 times and I know you're set by heart. And I need to all give them an experience where they all get on board, they all sign up for the same thing, and then drive the story and, like, bring them up and then bring them down to the base and then, you know, lift them up with a little bit more exciting house music and then drive it to the top, the climax, and then throw a bottle of champagne and call it a night.
So a lot of your set then is on the fly.
Yeah, I think that's a skill that a lot of DJs don't. I feel like any new DJ to the scene, that's the thing that they need to work on the most, because you can't practice reading a crowd in your bedroom.
Yeah.
You can have all your favorite tracks, you're like, this is my favorite bass trap music, but, like, you get to the club and you play it and everybody stops moving, you better have something else. Like, you got to start throwing kind of samples.
Right.
To read the crowd and to read the room, really.
Honestly, I feel like a lot of DJs don't do that.
No.
It's just whatever they want.
Yeah. It's like, this is my favorite music.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's not what's going to make the room move. Mm-hmm. And I see DJing as you're the party captain.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure everybody's having a good time.
For sure.
So you got to read that room. And I've DJed with amazing DJs who really know how to do that. And it's quite incredible when it happens.
So I've hired DJs before and I've almost given, like, lists of artists and, like, suggestions. Do DJs or you take offense to that? Or, like, how does that work?
It depends what kind of DJ. If it's like there's DJs who work in bars and you're like, they're just expected to kind of play the best of everything.
Yeah.
Whatever radio is playing and, like, Spotify cool playlist, whatever, you're playing that. Wedding DJs, you know, you should be listening to your list because you're being paid.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it comes down to what you're being paid for. So for me, when somebody hires me, I make sure they know, or my manager makes sure that they know they're getting the HDW experience.
Yeah.
This is the HDW experience. You're getting somebody who's playing drums and DJing at the same time. It's an event. It's my job to read the crowd.
Yep.
To make sure I'm giving them, you know, I'm making them move so I can change on the fly. But it is, it's difficult when they're, like, giving me, you know, certain things.
For sure.
There's lots of times where somebody will be like, oh my God, can you play this new Beyonce song? And it's like, you want that Beyonce song.
Yeah, that doesn't mean everyone here does.
Yeah. And everybody's on a path where, like, you know, not to sound like a fucking hippie, but it's like we're making something together. We're on
yes.
a flow. Like, right now we're in, like, a little bit of bassier tones. Like, I'm not just going to throw Beyonce.
No, you can't just, like, put your foot down
yeah.
and interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were talking about this before, because it is so important that you are performing in front of kind of like your ideal crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen like Rich O'Coin play in at radio stations and it's like daylight, 5 p.m. and, you know, the parachute comes out and it's just like not the right time. Although it's fucking amazing.
Yes.
What is your ideal crowd to play for?
I mean, supermarket.
Paint the picture.
paint the picture. Supermarket has been great. Unfortunately, you know, they've asked all the parties to leave about 6 months ago, which is really unfortunate. You know, supporting local artists, that's kind of gone by the wayside for that venue. And we've lost so many venues, like Silver Dollar
yes.
and Alma Combo. So I think it's so important that the venues we do have are supporting mm-hmm. local artists, especially on the Friday and Saturday nights. But for me, it's like 12:30 Friday night,
yep.
Saturday night, that is my crowd. Because at that point, people are hungry. They're hungry for something that's not mundane, something that's not their 9-to-5 job. They've traveled, they drank, they rallied their crew.
Yep.
They're there, they're on the dance floor. They're like, give me something I haven't seen before. Make me have an amazing time. That's why people go out.
Totally.
We don't go out to see a concert to be like, you know, to have an effect on us like riding the TTC.
Yeah.
Like, we want
to get sweaty.
We want to get sweaty. We want to have fun. We want to forget about. The biggest challenge I find as being a DJ now is I'm competing with cell phones. And at any point in time, if somebody's bored, they just pull out their cell phone.
Yeah.
They check their Instagram. They message somebody like, where's Becky? Or like, where, whatever. So I can tell I'm killing it when I do not see a cell phone on site, unless I obviously get on the drums, because then all the cell phones come out.
I was going to say, unless people are just like
filming,
Instagramming
yeah.
you,
yeah. yeah,
which I've done before.
Yeah.
So do you, is that important to you? I know, like, you know, most huge artists who are playing mm-hmm. arena shows, most of the, like, a really important part of it now is that from really far away, mm-hmm. the stage looks so crazy that everyone gets their phone out mm-hmm. and is posting their hashtag.
It is weird when, because we feed off the audience. So if I go a little bit crazy, and then they go a little bit crazy, and then I go crazier, and then they go crazier, and then you like,
yeah.
and you build up this whole thing. So when you're on that way, if I had everybody pull out their cell phone, then it's like, now I'm just like on display. Now I'm
yes.
in the zoo. Now it's
yeah.
just like, wow, look at me go crazy. And it depends how long that holds. I would imagine for Shawn Mendes, it's just phones in the air the entire time.
yeah.
That's crazy. That's such a weird way to perform. I only get people pulling out their phone like here and there. I mean, a lot of people are so, that. I mean, it's my job to make them dance so hard to forget to take
yes.
a photo.
Yes.
But obviously, when they do take a photo or, you know, do Insta story, whatever, that helps me.
Definitely.
Because they're tagging me and then other people are seeing them. And a lot of people have seen me live through Insta story or all of
yeah.
those things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Very cool. What are you listening to now if you're just like, you know, doing the dishes?
Oh, man. I mean, I listen to a lot of Annie Mac. Actually, I need to, and you're going to ask me this, and I'm like, I got to pull out my phone.
Because you can look at your history.
Because I can look at my history, and there's a couple
I do the
great
same.
Tracks. Hang Up Your Hang Ups by Paul Wolford is my absolute favorite right now.
All
it's
right.
such a jam. It's so positive. And the great thing is, it's about him being like, to kind of, it's like, get over your baggage, like, hang up your hang-ups
yeah.
about people or places or things, and kind of encouraging kind of like that positive space. But it's like a great dance track. It's all over Ibiza in the UK right now. Male Stripper is also a sick track. I've been blasting it by Purple Disco Machine. And again, it's just like so much fun. You're just, you can feel yourself on the beach just moving. And then when like that bass drum kind of kicks in
yeah.
about like a minute and a half in, you're just like, oh yeah, like this is the best. But like those two tracks are my
cool.
My favorite.
I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
So are you listening to music like that you would play during your DJ set on your off time? Or is there any other genres of music that you would be more chill into?
I mean, I'm always listening to music, even if it's like new Nicki Minaj and new Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
Like I skimmed those albums
because
yeah. I'm like, I'm not the biggest fan
yeah.
of either of them, but I want to know what's
you
going
should know.
On.
Yeah.
So kind of listening to that. I do love like Lorde's new album. I know that was like a while ago when
mm-hmm.
she released it, but holy crap, man. Like that woman can
write. Oh yeah.
It's bananas.
Such a good album.
Such a good album. And like, I'm the biggest Carly Rae Jepsen fan. Anybody would say that. Even when I play live, I play an awesome
yes.
remix of
yeah.
Call Me Maybe. And I probably go crazier than the crowd. Most times.
Yeah, I love Carly Rae Jepsen, and I love talking to people who know her beyond Call Me Maybe.
Yeah.
And you can instantly tell when
yeah.
someone, like, gets it
yeah.
or when they don't. And they're like, what? What do you mean? Like, why are you talking about Carly Rae Jepsen right now?
Yeah.
And you're like, shut up.
The craziest part about that is that the hipsters and music kind of people found her and loved her before the gays, which blows my mind. Because, like, the gays find everything. Like, we find everything first, especially when it's, like, female pop icon. We're
yeah.
like, yes.
Like, Robin.
Give me, yeah, it's like, give us Robin, give us Demi Lovato. Like, we will take everything. And we do. But I remember being in a gay bar on Church Street, and we're dancing, having a great time. It's, like, one of my favorite places to go when I need, like, a night off. And I'm not, like, networking.
Yeah.
Because anytime I go to a party, I'm, like, kind of always networking. I just want to go see some drag queens because they are brilliant performers. I learned so much about performing from
mm-hmm.
watching them. But the drag queen was just like, you know, what song should I play next? And I was like, I was like, Carly Rae Jepsen. And they looked at me and they're like, girl, what year are you in? And I was like, girl, what are you talking about?
Excuse me.
I'm like, you don't know? Like, what do you mean? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And it, apparently, like, it was just so obvious that, like, gay culture was a step behind for the first time ever.
Wow.
With, like, a pop female icon.
Wow.
And I was, like, I was just shocked.
That's too funny.
It was a traumatizing moment for me.
Well, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. I always like to end the chats finding something out about you, mm-hmm. you know, that has nothing to do with what you actually do. Mm-hmm. So you live in Toronto.
Yes.
What's your favorite restaurant?
Oh, man. Honestly, I just Uber Eats so much.
Really? What do you get?
Like Playa Cabana, like tacos, Thai food.
Playa Cabana is so good.
So good. Real Thailand. It's like, I love it. Really gotten into the barbecue and like the pulled pork.
Yep.
And all of those little
gems. You can't beat some barbecue.
You can't beat barbecue.
Nice.
Yeah.
If you had like a someone you were working with mm-hmm. coming in from out of town and you had to take them out for dinner, where would you go?
I still love Nazareth. I don't even know if it's still around, but it's Ethiopian food.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I haven't had Ethiopian food yet, and I need to do it.
But I'm also like, anytime I can eat with my hands, like,
yeah, it's fun.
I'm into it.
For sure. For sure. Very cool. Just like drumming.
Exactly. I need the rhythm. I need to feel the rhythm at all times.
Amazing.
Cool.
Great. Well, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Sisters of Sound is produced by Tattoo Sound and Music in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform today.